Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you in part by Oaktree Medical Center and Valor Security.
Welcome to Vital Voices, the show where we explore real stories, real struggles, and real faith. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows, and today we're diving into a conversation that will resonate deeply with so many women and families navigating infertility with faith, hope, and community. Our guest today is Dr. Latazia Stewart, also known as Dr. Taz, an author, university dean, speaker, and faith-driven advocate for women and couples dealing with infertility, miscarriage, and infant loss. Her book, The Secrets of Faith in Fertility, takes us on her deeply personal journey of faith, loss, and ultimately triumph. And today, she's here to share her story and some of the powerful lessons she's learned along the way. But this conversation isn't just for women struggling with infertility. It's for their family, friends, and faith communities too. Dr. Taz's upcoming conference is designed to not only support those on this journey, but also to equip their loved ones with the tools to walk alongside them with love and understanding. So whether you face this challenge yourself, know someone who has, or just want to learn how to be a better source of support, this episode is for you. So let's get started. Welcome to Vital Voices, Dr. Taz.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here this morning on Vital Voices.
This is an awesome time. It's been a very, this is a very interesting journey to get to this conversation. A short one, but a very interesting one nonetheless. So we are ecstatic to have you on. My wife and I, in preparation for this recording, you know, got a chance to go through your book and get a little bit more information. But, you know, for our listeners who may not be familiar, mm-hmm. you know, can you just start with sharing a little bit about your background and what led you to write your book, The Secrets of Faith in Fertility?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, like I said, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for the invitation to join this platform with you and to, you know, provide information, because one of the things we know, knowledge is power, right? And mm-hmm. we want to ensure that we have a powerful community. Well, I am Dr. Latazia Stewart. Most folks know me as Dr. Taz, as you have shared. And for many years, I held in secret shame the challenges and struggles that I had with my journey with infertility and pregnancy losses. Mm-hmm. It was to the point where not even my closest friends and my parents really knew the depths of the challenges that I had. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part to this, which some people may find surprise, is that while I held that in shame, and people might say, oh, why? But like, people struggle all the time. Like, why, right? The thing is, my story is not unique, because there are many others who currently are in like situation. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I, we had been trying, and, you know, we come from a fairly large family. He's the eldest of five, for mm-hmm. example, lots of cousins and everything else. When we got married in our early 20s, I thought that was just something that would happen, right? We would mm-hmm. get married. Exactly. And yeah, like it, everybody else is. And so it caught us off guard. It caught us mm-hmm. off guard. And what eventually led me to writing this book was, even after having my miracles, I am the fortunate and blessed mother of three rambunctious, amazing kids. Let me put the rambunctious on it, including a set of twins. But even after having them, nobody knew that I had fertility treatment, for mm-hmm. example, because I was still embarrassed about the challenges that we had. And it literally took, unfortunately, the losses of two individuals, a work colleague and also a family member, my sister-in-law, in fact, who I speak about in my book, that God kind of, I think, gave me a little punch in the gut and was like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You have a message of hope, of things that I have helped you to navigate during mm-hmm. this journey. And why aren't you sharing it? And prior to that point, I had been on and off with actually toying with the idea of writing it, but the fear, the shame, the perception mm-hmm. of others mm-hmm. in our community and what that would look like really held me captive to the shame of my journey. But oh, those unfortunate situations, God was like, you got to get this finished. And their losses and their challenges happened right around Mother's Day, which coincided with my birthday. Oh, and so on my birthday, I kind of made that commitment, like, okay, before the next Mother's Day comes around, I have to finish this, because there are so many women and men, you know, married couples who are right now at a loss as to what next to do. Mm-hmm. Is there really hope for their journey? And I had to finish the book. And so here we are.
Here we are indeed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, you know, even just in the introduction and getting to know a little bit about your background, mm-hmm. you are a woman who wears many hats. Mm-hmm. Obviously, now you've added the hat of author, but you've been a university dean. Mm-hmm. You've led children's ministry, mm-hmm. you've been a mentor, you're a mom, you're a wife. You know, how did all of these roles influence your mission and your message?
So I can share with you, I think it's my innate character to kind of be a nurturer and mm-hmm. a person who encourages individuals. And one of the things I just enjoy doing, even in my professional work, you know, like you mentioned, I was a university dean. I actually stepped away from that role to do more work in this space and in the nonprofit and advocacy work as it relates to family building and mm-hmm. and addressing women's health. But I've always had a desire to see people grow and to be their best selves. And that's from little people, yes, the children at my church who I've had the opportunity to lead and showing them new things. And, you know, the faculty that I've worked with and the students, just seeing people be their best. And when individuals encounter challenges, because life has its way of throwing challenges when you least expect it, right?
Indeed it does.
I want them to know that there are ways to navigate that. And so I have a creative way sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think that's a gift that God has given me of having folks to see things in a different way and recognizing creative ways sometimes of navigating the challenges that they face in life. And that, I think, is why God led me to this space now to be able to show others, hey, there are options. There are things that you may not have considered that you need to be aware of, that you need to become knowledgeable of, so that you can navigate this space well. And not just mm-hmm. for those who are going through this, as you mentioned in your opening, talking about our community as a whole, because there's a blind spot for a lot of things sometimes that we have around us. And it's how do you take those blindfolds off? And now once you have those blindfolds off, what next do you do?
Yeah, you know, It's interesting. You know, you sometimes get so, like you said, kind of streamlined and pigeonholed into a way of thinking, or, you know, the way your experiences shape your thought process and certain things. And you oftentimes don't, people have difficulty kind of seeing outside of that. So I think a space like this and the work that you're doing and helping people to kind of broaden the thought process about what may be available to them. And then even just in terms of, you know, in interconnecting that with your faith and that part of the journey as well, you know, you're someone of Bahamian roots, obviously, and that's an important part of your story, you know, but how did your upbringing help to shape your approach to faith and perseverance?
So I grew up in a church. I mean, there wasn't a weekend that I think we wasn't in church, you know, the different crusades that we would have. I grew up at Grantstown Seventh-day Adventist Church there on Wellington Street. So from being a pathfinder to singing in a children's choir, you know, like all the things. So I think I've always known that God could do things, you know, and impossible things. In fact, I remember when it was time for me to even go away to college, you know, it was around the time that my dad had lost his job. And I remember there was somebody who was saying, well, at the time I was just finishing the College of the Bahamas, they're like, well, why don't you just, you know, start working? You already, I was already doing an intern at the bank. It was British American Bank. I'm dating myself right now, right? British American Bank on Frederick Street, which is now, I think, Fidelity. Mm-hmm. And
we won't tell anyone.
Yeah, we won't tell anybody, even though they're listening now, right? But they were like, you already have an internship there. Just keep working with the bank and all the things. But I was like, no, I know God is telling me it's time for me to, you know, go off to school and advance my education and everything else. But the looking at what's in the front of us, right? Mm-hmm. That giant, how is it going to happen when mm-hmm. you got a younger sister in private school, your dad isn't working, you know, finances are tight. But there was something about everything that I had learned growing up and knowing that God could do impossible things. And I'm like, I'm going to school. And mm-hmm. he made a way. Mm-hmm. It was tough, but it happened. And I think a lot of the experiences that I've encountered, and I talk about a few of those in my book, I've been able to reflect on God's record book.
Mm-hmm. I like that, God's record book.
I have been able to look at his record book and see what he has done through the course of my life and know that his record book doesn't lie. And so if he was able to record something before through my journey of faith, he still has the ability to do it even now.
Yeah. You know, it's something, you know, my wife and I talk about a lot of times. Usually you hit difficult stretches mm-hmm. in just difficult seasons in life. And one of the things that's always helpful is to sit back. And I think take very literally the concept of counting your blessings. Mm-hmm. You know, I think mm-hmm. we say that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like a lot of other, you know, cliches that we may hear, you know, especially if you've been like in church your whole life, sometimes you hear mm-hmm. things and you don't necessarily consider what that looks like in practice. Mm-hmm. But being able to look back at circumstances and situations mm-hmm. that God has brought you through, or mm-hmm. like for us, brought us through as a family, and be able to count that and say, well, you know, if God did it then and in mm-hmm. this circumstance, mm-hmm. why can't he do it, you know, in what you're facing in this moment now? And I think things like that, very practical, but I like that, you know, the God's record book. I think that's a pretty cool way of looking at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so your book covers a fairly broad range in terms of your journey. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like you said, there was a lot of time in this in between of, you know, having gone through your process and then sitting down and saying, you know, it's time to share this mm-hmm. story publicly. And you mentioned mm-hmm. that there were some close and personal losses that you experienced. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what about that kind of made you decide it's time to go out and talk about this out into the world?
Yeah. So after my... You know, my sister-in-law and my colleague had mm-hmm. experienced their losses, and I began to write it. I recognized also that there were gaps in our faith-based communities. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't hear this type of conversation in our churches. There were gaps in our workplaces. There aren't many policies around women's health who are struggling with these type of issues. And so I found through the journey of writing this book and since coming out with it, that there is a need for advocacy in these spaces mm-hmm. to allow women and men who are going through these challenges to know that they are not alone. And I think, again, for many, many persons in leadership, in faith-based communities and in workplace organizations, it's not for the lack of caring or the lack of empathy, but the lack of, I didn't really think about it like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Susan is, you know, one of our managers here and she lost a baby, but everybody's losing a baby now and again, right? No. Yet there's this expectation that Susan, when she comes back to work, everything is back to normal.
To normal.
And it's not. And so what do we now do to help persons like Susan, who is an amazing employee, be able to still thrive in her role despite the personal challenge that she's having dealing with the loss of a child? Yeah. Or if it's her husband, right. You know, maybe in another organization, what right. do we do to support him?
That's the thing. I think sometimes, you know, we have a very interesting way, I think, societally at looking at children and babies as though it's somehow less or smaller when you mm-hmm. have. Mm-hmm. So like we've had this conversation with some of our psych colleagues about, you know, the stress the kids go through. But it's in the same way. If you suffer the loss of
you know, a spouse or a sibling or a parent mm-hmm. or a grandparent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's like the loss of an unborn child, or it's the same loss. I think sometimes we take it for granted, like, well, you know, well, the baby wasn't here yet. So it's like, it's not quite mm-hmm. the same, but it's mm-hmm. sometimes it's worse because mm-hmm. all of the thoughts of the potential and all of that, absolutely. Like nothing has been realized, and you feel like it's just been ripped away from you. Yeah. You know, and I'm speaking from that, from a perspective of, you know, my wife and I had that challenge as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it is interesting because it's the same thing. It's the same feeling. It's the same level of grief. It's the same level of hurt and pain that you go through. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes there's just a slight difference in the way people view it. Mm-hmm. And it's not quite the same as, like, because if you came back into work and it was like your husband passed away and, you know, you were out for 2 weeks, I think it's a little bit different, right? But somehow I think mm-hmm. there's something that sometimes gets lost in translation when it's a baby, or especially an unborn baby.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you talk about the faith community part of it. And I know there are a lot of things that, you know, people in the church and the church community sometimes mm-hmm. have difficulty navigating in conversation, mm-hmm. And sometimes even in support. And I know, you know, when we first got married, we had a number of people who were in our friend circle who went through challenges and miscarriages and things like that. And while, you know, we knew, I'm not sure how far and why the support went from, you know, the church community in terms of discussing it and helping people navigate through it. Like, I know our mm-hmm. church had a group of women that prayed for women who were trying to conceive and had difficulty, mm-hmm. but it wasn't necessarily the most well-known thing either, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. why do mm-hmm. you think this is such a taboo topic in that environment, and how can you know, we work to change that? And, like, I guess, how is the work that you're doing looking to help change that?
Yeah. The reason why it's so taboo is because we're not talking about it.
Mm.
We're not navigating it. Just like how you said, you know, that there were some women who prayed for women who were trying to have children and everything else, though it wasn't a really well-known thing. And even maybe, let's say, for instance, the young lady who may have had a stillbirth, or like in my case, you know, I was visibly pregnant. So people knew that I had a loss. But mm-hmm. for those that may not be visibly pregnant, who is experiencing their losses, what then do they do, or how do they know that these are available if we are not talking about them, right? I think there is opportunity within our faith-based organizations for truly creating a space that is well-known within their communities, and not just our faith-based organizations, our civic communities, our civic groups, our, you know, community organizations, mm-hmm. Making a space, whether it's through monthly or bi-monthly or quarterly, you know, presentations around these topics, so that folks can know, hey, we know this is an area of concern for some that may be challenged with it. Here are some resources. Here is material. Here's a workshop. You're not alone.
Right. I think
it helps to take that edge off. Mm-hmm. And now with everybody talking about it, it kind of moves it out of the shadows. Mm-hmm. Because if you take, for example, and I just was sharing this recently at the Insurance Commission office team the other day, there was a period where cancer was taboo.
Right.
Nobody talked about it. But now we all know during the month of October, most folks, everybody know, hey, get your pink out, because we flashing mm-hmm. in pink. Just the awareness is there. And right. So the work that I'm focused on right now, especially in this first phase of what I'm doing, is creating that awareness and that education around, hey, this is an issue. Globally, we're talking 1 in 6 mm-hmm. who are struggling with infertility. And when it comes to pregnancy loss, we're talking 1 in 4. And this isn't data Dr. Taz came up with. This is data that's published by the World Health Organization, the Centers for Disease Control. And, you know, there's research that's needed even in the Bahamas right now to really get to the root of what's happening within our population, where we have, you know, younger women who are being diagnosed with diminished ovarian reserve and PCOS. And what do those numbers look like? And how do we take the lid off the these being things in the shadow, but are things that are being faced by many, many, many individuals.
Yeah. And I think sometimes even like, you know, that one in four. So I think for the audience that's listening, if you think about that, that means if you walk into a room of 100 women, 25 of those women have likely lost a pregnancy. You know, there's like, even if they, you know, in the church, you walk in the church and there's 400 women and 100 women have lost a baby. That's kind of the way that we have to think about it in terms of how common that is. Right? And, you know, like you said, I think there's, it's such a personal challenge. It feels like such a, such a personal thing that that's a part of the difficulty in even navigating and talking about it publicly. And I think sometimes even in the church, you know, you operate under the thought and the principle of be fruitful and multiply. That's what, you know, we read in our Bible. And so sometimes even that component of it might be a part of the difficulty in talking about it in that space. It's like, well, you know, is there something wrong with me? Like, why am I not being able to just be fruitful and multiply as I read in my Bible along with everybody else? But, you know, on the flip side of it, faith is also a very important part in navigating and breaking free from, you know, whether it's fear or shame or embarrassment. You know, how did your faith help you to kind of break free from those emotions?
So I'll be completely honest with you. There was a breaking point in my faith where I asked God, like, did you forget me? That's a chapter in my book, like, God, did you forget me? Because, again, like I mentioned earlier, I grew up in the church. I thought I was a good girl. You know, most people look at me as a goody two shoes per se. But I was not one who drank. I was not sexually promiscuous. I was not out there partying, you know. Right. So when it came time to have children, which I thought would be a natural thing to happen, I was kind of caught off guard. And okay, we had the first pregnancy loss, which that was so painful because, again, we had been struggling to have kids and now we were pregnant and we had gotten so far, and to have them stillborn, that was rough. But I still was like, okay, God, I'm a hold on to your hand. I'm believing you to carry me through. And if you let this happen, if you allow us to become pregnant again, then I know this is it, Lord. I know this is your plan, and you're gonna see to it that this is gonna be a testimony for you. So when we experienced the next loss, I was like, God, what's happening here? We then gone through all of that. Had another loss, gone back to fertility treatment, and there were multiple failed treatments in between, right?
Right.
So now we're pregnant again, and you're taking this baby again, Lord? Like, what, you forget me out here? Like, I'm here speaking for you, praising you, and I just feel like you forget me. And it was a very, very dark space that I went into. And I think a lot of people sometimes are, again, blind to how dark that season can look for those that are walking that journey. Because in my case, I'll be honest, I was not able to pray for myself. And it was very few individuals who knew of the next loss, because this time I wasn't so visibly pregnant. There was maybe less than seven folks who knew about that loss. Because I was, again, so nervous to share this pregnancy, and it was painful. And I remember that, but you know, we serve a very intentional God. I remember walking around my neighborhood with my dog, and telling God, having this conversation with him out loud, you know, as I'm walking, like, God, you forgot me. Like, I don't know how this is supposed to work. You know, you want me to serve? Like, I was mad with God. I'm going to just be honest. Mm-hmm. And there are people who say, you know, why are you going to fly in the face of God? The thing is, I believe we serve such a loving God that he is big enough for my questions and my painful heart, which he already, mm-hmm. which he already knows.
Right.
There's nothing that he doesn't know. But I remember coming back inside and I had downloaded this app on my husband's phone the night before, and it had like a series of books from this author. Her name was Ellen White. And the mm-hmm. very first book, the very first chapter of the book, it was called The Acts of the Apostles.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was like, he saw I was a little frazzled. He's like, well, you know, let's have worship. I said, well, I downloaded something. Let's look at it. And so he goes and he opens the very first book, the very first chapter. And in it, here's God now. I didn't even know this. He said in the book, the author said in the book, in an acceptable time have I heard you. For he that have mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Then he goes on to say, because she's speaking from the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord had comforted his people. But Zion said, the Lord had forsaken me, and my Lord had forgotten me.
Wow.
And then it reads, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. For I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. And I'm like,
it really,
like, listen, how you hit
you in the face sometimes, man. It really is like, you know, to every element of what you were going through, there was a part of it in that scripture to speak to you. And to your husband in that time, that's crazy.
Like, I just finished rowing God, telling him, you forget me. And we come back, I come back in less than an hour, he has us to flip open the book where he's telling
full me, reminder.
Hey, a woman may even forget a fucking child, but I can't forget you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't forget you. Your hands, your life is written on the palms, engraved on the palms of my hand. And when we think about something that's engraved, it's mm-hmm. permanent.
Yeah.
That's not something that could erase. So God is saying, for the one who's listening right now and wondering if they're forgotten, God is saying your life is engraved on his palms. You're not forgotten.
Sometimes it's like, you know, people will tap you on your forehead and be like, hey, you listening? You got it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that kind of moment, mm-hmm. that kind of aha
yeah.
moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's yeah. a beautiful thing, you know, because I find that, you know, there's so many times where, and it goes back to the concept of counting your blessings, but there's so many times and ways that God will find this interesting way to kind of talk to you and be like, hey, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. I'm still here. I haven't gone anywhere. Mm-hmm. And here's my answer mm-hmm. to you, to kind of yeah. put you at rest, to put you at ease, yeah. to say, yeah. I got you, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI, top of the hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Valor Security, our brand is honor. With quality services and professional treatment, we provide security you can trust. Whether it's protecting your home, securing your business, or safeguarding schools and construction sites, we're here day and night to keep you safe. From private event security to personalized escorts and expert consultations, Our team is committed to excellence. Choose Vala Security, where honor, professionalism, and peace of mind go hand in hand. Call us today at 359-2005 or 605-7424 for security solutions tailored to your needs. Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oaktree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your health needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 816-4-OPP, that's 816-4677, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oaktree Primary Plus. Are you down with OPP? Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oaktree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oaktree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oaktree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oaktree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oaktree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete. Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
Going back into the book, I like words. Mm-hmm. So I like when people get, I'll call it playful, but when people get creative with mm-hmm. how they word things, how they title books, things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So when I saw the name of the book, I'm like, that's mm-hmm. interesting mm-hmm. because it's the faith in fertility, mm-hmm. You know, with the in capitalized. I love when people kind of play with it, you know. Mm-hmm. How does, from your viewpoint, even just that sort of thing kind of speak to the difference from having faith during fertility, during infertility, mm-hmm. But why that approach to naming the book? Like, what were you trying to get across in, like I said, why what I view as a very creative way of stylizing the book and the title?
Yeah. So it's titled The Secrets of Faith, right? Infertility, because the secrets, one, this was a very secret journey for mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's interesting, I sometimes look at myself and still be like, how I get out here to post a child. I had a guy during Valentine's, I was passing out some chocolates. He's like, that's the fertility lady. She must be got the fertility chocolates. I'm like, when did I become the fertility lady, Lord? Like,
with
the fertility chocolates. And it was just regular chocolates.
Anyway. I'm sure it was.
Let's make sure that's out there. Yeah. It was just regular chocolates. How about but, there was a period where even after my book came out, to say the word infertility was something I was not able to verbalize. Mm. Mm-hmm. I verbalized that for the first time about, I think it was maybe 4 or 5 months after my book came out, when I was speaking at a conference at Bahamar. Mm-hmm. And that, I'll tell you, standing on the stage and saying, I was diagnosed with infertility. Every part of my body was shivering mm-hmm. to know that I was now speaking out loud, mm-hmm. that this was my diagnosis. And it took a minute for me to process that. But this is, again, one, it was my secret. And mm-hmm. it was my secret shame. And so there goes the top part of that title, right? Mm-hmm. But then with regards to the faith, right? My faith was even secret in a way, because I did believe that it was going to happen. And my husband's faith also helped to bolster that, because even after every failed treatment, even after every loss, he was saying, babe, it's going to happen. It's going to happen for us. And I just wanted him to be a part of the daddy club, you know, his brother, his cousins, you know, I wanted him to be a part of that with
his, he was like, look, we in this together.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So the secrets of my faith, but the faith in fertility, which I've since launched a coaching program around just that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having faith in fertility and not so much thinking about the infertility aspect of it.
Right.
And having women to know, you know what, you can have faith in the middle, being in faith, mm-hmm. and in favor with See? God, in fertility.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in the middle, and I even have a part of this in my program talking about the messy middle. It's in the messy middle where God sometimes shows himself really strong and really brings us closer to him. Sometimes we're looking for victory to be a certain way, right? When God is working within us. And even that process in itself is victorious for when we get to where he has us to receive what he has.
Right.
And we miss that piece in the middle of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a framework and layers around that that I go into more in depth with individuals that I coach who are on their fertility yeah. journey. But it's a shifting of the mindset.
Yeah. See, I knew there was a story there.
Mm-hmm. That's a shift in the mindset.
You know, you talked about in the book a number of different struggles and issues along the way. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes people don't necessarily realize going through fertility treatments is quite a process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a complex one. And it's one that's fraught with its challenges. And like you said, you know, you had two instances. There's a lot of things that go into this whole process, right?
Yeah.
And you discuss a lot of that as you go through the book. But, you know, coming out on the other side, having written it, having had it been out for a while now, you know, which part of the book, which chapter do you think will resonate the most with readers in terms of, you know, all of those different elements and why?
So there are two chapters
mm-hmm.
three that stand out to me. One, she's pregnant, not me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
She's pregnant, not me. Oh my. So this goes directly to what happens in the workplace for me, at least, and for mm-hmm. many individuals. I remember the day that I returned to work, and a lot of people have, unfortunately, come to take the person I'm about to mention just now as a villain, but she's not. Please, please, please don't take her as a villain when you read my book. Mm-hmm. She's referenced as Nicole. I have a pseudonym. But I returned to work, and Nicole, who was somebody who I shared an office with at the time, she was pregnant. And she was not pregnant before. I left when I was out on maternity leave dealing with mm-hmm. my losses.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a very interesting time because while, again, I'm happy for her, I'm still dealing with the loss of my twin babies.
Mm-hmm.
And she shared with me the first day I came back to work that she was expecting. So there are dynamics that happen in the workplace that I think many leaders are blind to.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a framework that I discuss in my program that I do in the corporate setting around compassionate communication
mm-hmm.
that sometimes our staff needs to know because they don't, again, it's a blind spot mm-hmm. and also the same for leaders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not providing mental health days for individuals that may experience these type of challenges?
Oh yeah.
Or even the ability, if they have recently experienced these type of challenges, the ability to be hybrid that day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without it being that, oh my goodness, if I have to step out, they're going to think I'm inadequate at my work. No, it has nothing. It has nothing mm-hmm. to do with the inadequacy of a person's work, but maybe needing to take an extended lunch or maybe working the next half of the day, you know, remotely. There's so many different things that managers and leaders can put into place that can support their workers that they may not be aware of. And so we provide workshops around that as well. And uh-huh. then within the pair setting, right, what are some things that maybe should not be said that could possibly negatively impact the person that's in the cubicle, that's in mm-hmm. the, you know, that's in the bathroom while you're in there. Right. And speaking to bathrooms, I shared this on another talk show. Leaders may not realize, but probably every office building has a graveyard, which is a bathroom. I'll share with you a story. When I first had an event around this particular topic, and I was sharing it with some folks, there was a young lady who came to me. She works in a government office, mind you. And on the floor that she works on, it's a small, you know, floor per se. She said she went to the restroom, and the only thing I could say that won't seem so graphic, she said it was a scene in the stall. Okay. When the janitorial team came in, they went back to the manager and I said, somebody just lost a baby in here. Okay. Yeah. There was some evidence to that effect. Now, here's what's crazy about that. Nobody left work that day. Hear me well. Nobody left work. So whoever experienced that went back to their desk and worked the rest of the day.
Oh, that's wild.
Clearly, they did not.
Did they not even know?
They did not. No. They knew. They had to. Trust me. They had to.
They had to know.
They had to. They probably was experiencing things at their desk, which led them to the bathroom, which unfortunately led to what happened.
Right.
But they did not feel as if their workplace was as safe enough a space where they could possibly go to their leader and say, hey, I need to leave. And nobody called out the next day either. But can you imagine going home, knowing what you went through at work, and showing back up the next day, but you don't feel, either you don't sure what your boss can say, or you don't know what, like you know, we need to close the restroom. You know what I mean? Like, nobody go back. Like, none of that happened.
So these are
folks might think this story sounds unique, but I promise you it's not. And we as a community need to become more sensitized to some of the challenges around families. People trying to have a family. At the end of the day, people just want to have a family too, you know? They just want to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And so when they experience these type of heart-wrenching challenges, what are we as a community doing to show up for them?
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI, top of the hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Valor Security, our brand is honor. With quality services and professional treatment, we provide security you can trust. Whether it's protecting your home, securing your business, or safeguarding schools and construction sites, we're here day and night to keep you safe. From private event security to personalized escorts and expert consultations, our team is committed to excellence. Choose Vala Security, where honor, professionalism, and peace of mind go hand in hand. Call us today at 359-2005 or 605-7424 for security solutions tailored to your needs. Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your health needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 816-4-OPP, that's 816-4677, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus. Are you down with OPP? Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete. Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
Yeah, that's a different level of intense altogether. Because I guess like you say, it's probably a part of the reason why so many women take the standpoint of keeping it secretive and keeping it to themselves because they don't even know where it's safe to even engage in like those conversations where is it safe to find help, to find support. I can't even imagine. And then to say that that's probably more common than people realize is just
it's very common.
Heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Very common. Wow.
I can share with you stories I've seen in my DM.
Right.
Since I've gone on social media. Since my book has come out, there are individuals in every sector of our community, every one of our faith-based organizations. And I can share with you right now, I coach women in Exuma, Eleuthera, Grand Bahama, and New Providence. That's four of our islands. There are individuals who are in our public school system. There's doctors in our system. There are bankers. And I'm not making like, you know, titles, but these are actual folks who have reached out
real
to
people.
Me. Real people within our community. And, you know, they keep saying, oh, Jazz, please don't go away. Please don't close the chapter, because sometimes it's kind of challenging being a pioneer in this space and bringing this type of awareness to our leaders and our organizations. It is challenging.
Yeah, because you open the door. To hear the stories, to hear the heart, to hear the heartbreak of people who've gone through that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a good pivot point too. You know, in the chapter releasing the burden, distinguishing the shame, you talk about like overcoming that secrecy. You know, what advice do you have for people who feel too ashamed to seek support?
First, let me share this. One, you're not alone. I gave the statistics. So when you think you go into a building and there's, you know, nobody else there, I can promise you, you just turn your head around and probably the person to your right actually is going through the same.
Right. Or has been through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so extinguishing the shame, I think, lends with first now being able to speak about where you're at in your journey.
Yeah.
You know, and not being fearful in doing so. Knowing that fear, first of all, is not of God. And fear, I can tell you, sometimes put a chokehold on our voice. It did for me for many years. So I get it. But finding, you know, spaces where you can actually begin to share your story will begin to change the narrative for you and for others. Releasing the burden. You know, I eventually got to a point in my journey after that period where me and God was angry, and there were folks who were praying for me to get through the loss. They were praying for me to get pregnant, because again, they knew I had lost babies, not knowing that I needed them to pray for me to actually get pregnant the first time. Sorry, they were praying for me to have a safe pregnancy. Let me rephrase that. They were praying for me to have a safe and healthy pregnancy. Right. But I needed them to pray for me to even get pregnant. That was
in the first place.
That's what I needed in the first place. But that burden that I carried is not one that anybody needs to carry.
No, that's heavy, man.
Because it's not your fault.
Right.
Let me start there. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
And we need to educate. We need to educate individuals on some of the things that could be genetic, and then resources. Nobody goes, like, for example, nobody goes to try to have cancer. Nobody trying to have cancer, right?
No. No.
But there are some things that contribute to it that they may not even be aware of. And that's where the education piece comes in, especially for our young adults, too. And that's things the thing. You can ask questions around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, we have to appreciate that our bodies, our physical structures are quite delicate and intricate. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what different experiences you've had in life, trauma, stress. Mm-hmm. You know, abuse, things like that, all these different things that can play a part in how you end up in a position where you may have difficulty in the space that are definitively not your fault. Because it's such a delicate balance that is almost required for, especially for procreation, right? For reproduction. So I think it is good to tell people, hey, you know, this is not your fault, but at the same time, you know, that should then encourage you and empower you to go and find help. You know, in our initial conversation, and also you mentioned this in the book as well, and I think this is one of the coolest things, and I think it's just because it speaks to something that my mother-in-law used to do in that prayer group in the church. And it was the part where you're talking about praying over baby blankets in faith. You know, share that experience with our audience, with our listeners, and how that impacted your journey.
That was a pivotal turning point. You know, like I said, my husband always was a believer that, you know, he said if this was going to happen, it was going to happen. And I was believing in faith with him. And I eventually reached a place in my faith journey where I was accepting that, Lord, I'm trusting you for whatever it is you do. And if you don't bless me anymore than you've blessed me already, I'm blessed more than enough. Shortly after sharing that with God, like, if you don't bless me any more than you've blessed me, I'm blessed more than enough. He gave me a very crazy assignment. That's, I mean, I can't even say it any other way that, Lord, this seems so ludicrous. And that was to go out and buy baby blankets. And I was like, me? I ain't got a baby. Like, who this for? Who having a baby? And he was like, mine. And I remember sharing the story of my sister-in-law. And she was like, well, you believe it's God telling you that? Yeah. I was like, yeah, God told me that. She said, well, you better go buy them blankets.
Go be obedient.
Listen, obedience, right? So I did. I went and I bought those baby blankets. And I gave them out in faith to several of my praying mothers, including my mom. And we believed in faith that God was going to do the impossible. And it was almost a year to the date after I gave the first baby blanket that we were standing before the altar to give my baby back to God during a baby blessing.
That's, listen, like I said, I know my wife's mom was, you know, the person leading that group in our church, praying for women who were having difficulty conceiving. And it was always a baby blanket or, you know, a pack of onesies or something, something in that space where it was like, you know, you're going to take this and you're going to believe God in faith that
it's a faith.
In time, there's going to be a baby wrapped up in that blanket, or there's going to be a baby in that onesie that you get to see as the fulfillment of, you know, your faith and your prayer. And you know, God's goodness in your life as a result. It is interesting as we navigate this conversation, because like I said, the faith component always becomes an interesting part of it. So I know some people look at fertility treatments and they don't know how to reconcile that with their faith. Because, you know, some people sit back and say, well, maybe it's God saying that this is just not for me. And then even when you think of the cost associated with going through, you know, fertility treatments, and there's all these different things that come into play. But, you know, how did you navigate your, you know, your faith and, you know, where this fits in, you know, does God approve of this or not? Because I imagine this is some of the questions that people have. So how did you navigate through that? And what would you say to others who may look at it and be like, I don't know if God says this is okay.
Yeah, I was one of them. Mm-hmm. I can remember the very first time I went to the doctor. And, you know, the contributing factor initially to my infertility was scar tissue. Mm-hmm. My husband and I, when I got married in my first 6 months, I had an abdominal surgery to remove several cysts. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, that led to scarring that was wrapped around my ovaries, hence why my eggs were not releasing. And, you know, they're like, when they found that out through an exploratory laparoscopic procedure, they were like, we don't want to get too close to your ovaries because we don't want to damage your eggs, but we can do IVF and get mm-hmm. them for you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the devil is a liar. No way. They're talking to me. That ain't my journey. Like, God didn't choose that for me. Ivy who? Ivy what? Mm. You know how we used to get, right? Righteous indignation every
very much
all
so.
Over me.
Yeah.
But I'll share with you that I haven't been on this journey. And this is something I tell, you know, my clients all the time and individuals I meet for the first time, especially those who may have even had repeated failed IVF attempts. Mm-hmm. God has more than 1,000 ways of solving your situation, mm-hmm. of which you don't even know in this moment, the first one. Mm-hmm. And he is able to use anything to fulfill the promise that he has for you.
Yeah.
Even IVF.
Yeah. I think sometimes we, you know, for a lot of people who are Christian and have mm-hmm. those sort of, you know, faith principles, mm-hmm. because so much has happened in the scientific community to try yes. and separate yes. God from science and act as though, like, it's funny, me and my wife were talking about this the other night. You know, there's a song that says, from him are all things and through him are all things. Mm-hmm. But then the scientific community tries to pretend as though science is not a space where God can play in. And then, mm-hmm. you know, we as Christians a lot of time also mm-hmm. take that approach of, mm-hmm. well, because a scientist a lot of times are atheists or just non-believing in that way. We mm-hmm. take it as, oh, there's nothing that science has to offer in our mm-hmm. faith. But then it's mm-hmm. like, but medicine comes through science. And if you go to the Dr. Fanny and everything else, this is very much in the same vein.
And the very same thing, in the same scope. In the same scope.
And so I think it's helpful for people to understand, like you said, there are a number of, like the human vernacular, there's more than a baby skin a cat, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so from that standpoint, then if this is something that is not perverse, it's not sinful, it's mm-hmm. not you know, out of step with God's intentions, then why would this not be an option for you?
Let me give you an example here. If a child was to break their leg today or tomorrow on the playground, where are we mm-hmm. taking them?
To the hospital.
We're taking them to the doctor, right?
Right, to the clinic, to somewhere.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to stand there and say, oh, well, God is going to fix that broken leg. He's given us wisdom to say, uh-huh. you know what, this child needs medical care to mm-hmm. get this broken leg fixed. Mm-hmm. In the same vein, somebody who has cancer, you know, we have
chemotherapy
treatment. Mm-hmm. We have normalized the ability to get medical care for all of these various ailments.
So why not?
It's time for us to normalize that fertility treatment is an option for those mm-hmm. that are trying to conceive.
That's awesome. So we have time for one more question. So I'm going to mm-hmm. ask you about the conference in kind of one big bundle. So you have a conference that's coming up. Yes. We're going to drop all of the information in the episode so people can see and know and understand what's happening with that. But from your perspective, you know, why is something like this important? Who is it for? Mm-hmm. You know, what can people expect? And, you know, we mentioned at the top, this is not just for women or for couples who are experiencing this. This is for family members. This is for loved ones. So just give us, you know, a 2 to 3 minute breakdown on everything people can expect from the conference, you know, where they can get tickets, the whole nine. You got free reign to
share it all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's the reality. We have adolescents as young as 12 who are being diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's an endocrine disorder that contributes to infertility. We have 1 in 4 with miscarriage, 1 in 6 with infertility, and a various number of reproductive health challenges for men and women. We have individuals who are affected with these from every level of the employee sector, from entry mm-hmm. level, you know, young women rising, to in our C-suite, right? Mm-hmm. So it's impacting our entire workplace, community, and faith-based organization. Hence why this particular conference is geared towards providing education and empowerment around mm-hmm. fertility and family building. So people may say, well, who should be there? Yes, individuals and couples who are navigating fertility issues, but our HR leaders should be there. Mm-hmm. Our business leaders should be there. Our mm-hmm. pastors need to be there, because if you're not talking about this in your premarital counseling, like, you need to be in the space to understand.
That's a good point.
Understand some of the challenges that may exist within our young couples. Newlyweds and engaged couples should be in the room. Mm-hmm. Because maybe there are things you need to be talking to your doctor about now, mm-hmm. questions that you should be asking them now that mm-hmm. you're not aware of. It's what you don't know that you don't know.
Yep.
And then cancer, while people dying from cancer has dropped, there is some data that recently came out to say there are less people dying from cancer. However, more younger people are being diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. The treatment has gotten better, but there are many who may be of childbearing age that should be considering fertility preservation before they enter treatment. We're going to be getting into all right. of those topics, because again, it's what you don't know, you don't know. And maybe mm-hmm. you have a loved one who was recently diagnosed with cancer, maybe even a young person. Mm-hmm. You have some kids who are getting ready to get married, right?
Right.
We need to be educated as a community on how yeah. to address this. And of course, our healthcare professionals and our wellness persons, we need them in the room. We're going to talk about everything, PCOS, fibroids, the research that's being done right now at Doctors Hospital around stem cell and helping to improve diminished ovarian reserve, mm-hmm. mental health and wellness. Mm-hmm. This is a power-packed event, and it's going to be at Atlantis Resort on April 3rd and 4th. On the 3rd, we're going to have a Meet the Doctors mixer where you're going to get mm-hmm. to, you know, just socialize with the doctors, and we're going to have our welcome ceremony. Our keynote speaker for that evening is going to be Dina Munnings Gray from the Insurance Commission. So y'all with the insurance questions, you need to be there. Those in the workplace, like I said, our HR leaders, they need to be there, because mm-hmm. this is an emerging space that is going to be a movement that's going to transform our community, and yeah. hence why this conference is in place. And we're excited to see all that it's going to be doing for our community.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to have this conversation with us. I'm sure it's going to be very helpful for, you know, like you said, couples who may be having this difficulty, HR leaders who, you know, can help them to get a better understanding of how to navigate this. Obviously, you know, the conference is ripe with a lot of information, a lot of education. And I think if there's one core message I think people should take away from this is, you know, get educated, become aware, and then help to drive change, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of areas surrounding mm-hmm. this in terms of even like what's covered by insurance, what's not, all of those different things that the more people are aware, the more we can get together and challenge things to change in a way that's better for people who are going through the struggle, considering so many women do.
Yeah. And let me add where to find the information, because I just realized I forgot to tell folks where to get it. Mm-hmm. You can find me on all of my socials, Facebook and Instagram, Dr. Taz, DocTorTazz. Mm-hmm. You can reach me and email me at any of those locations, drtaz.com, and also fertilityempowerment.org. That's where they can go for tickets.
Okay, and that's the name of the conference?
The conference is Fertility Empowerment International Conference, and it's awesome. our second one. So,
awesome.
Yes.
All right, so thank you so much. You know, as we wrap up, what an incredibly powerful conversation with Dr. Latazia Storr today.
Hope, empowerment, community.
The second annual Fertility Empowerment International Conference is coming to Nassau, Bahamas on April 3rd and 4th, 2025. Hi, I'm Dr. Latasia Stewart, and this year's conference will feature engaging presentations, panel conversations, and expert-led sessions on navigating fertility treatments, workplace support for employees facing fertility challenges, the intersection of faith and family and fertility, research and new innovations in reproductive health and wellness. During our inaugural event at Atlantis Resort, the impact made by our speakers and shared powerful patient stories were transformational. And this year, we're building on that success. We're also excited to partner with our new host, Doctors Hospital, for the 2025 conference. So who is this for? Fertility warriors, healthcare providers, business and civic leaders in our communities, individuals exploring fertility preservation options. This is more than a conference, it's a movement. And together, we're breaking silos, shattering silence, and empowering individuals to build their families. So, join us for the second annual Fertility Empowerment International Conference. Together, we'll continue building families, breaking barriers, and creating a future filled with hope.
If there's one thing I hope you take away from today's conversation, it's that no one has to walk this journey of infertility alone. Whether you're personally struggling or supporting someone who is, faith, education, and community can make all the difference. If you want to dive deeper into Dr. Taz's story, make sure you grab a copy of her book, The Secrets of Faith in Fertility. It's on Amazon, it's in local bookstores, and you can also connect with her on Instagram at Dr. Taz and visit her website, www.drtaz.com, for more resources and information. And don't forget, the upcoming conference isn't just for women struggling with infertility. It's a space for education, healing, and support for their families, friends, and faith communities. So if you or someone you love could benefit from this event, be sure to check out the details and register today. Thank you for tuning into Vital Voices. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who needs to hear this message. Until next time, stay strong, stay encouraged, and keep the faith.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.
We'd also like to give a special thank you to today's sponsors, Oak Tree Medical Center and Valor Security.